So we are in the passage of Romans chapter 5, which is really one of the pinnacles of all of Scripture, maybe one of the seven wonders of biblical teaching. That's in verse 8, but we're going to start with verse 6 so we get a little sense of what's going on before and then following through to verse 11, okay? Romans 5, 6 to 11. Wish we had seatbelts in our pews. Might be it for this one. This is good stuff here. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray together.
O Lord our God, amazing, wonderful, rich, powerful is your word. Teach us, Lord, lead us as we make sense of what this means for our lives as we try and love like God in our crazy and confused world. In Jesus' name.
Well, it was about 3 years ago. That would make it the summer of 2014. I'm pretty good in math, okay? That a craze swept through our nation. Millions of people, literally millions of people, accepted this challenge and did this. Celebrities did it. Sports teams in their entirety did it. Common people did it. And some 2.5 million videos got posted on social media, be that Facebook or YouTube, of people doing what? Do you remember?
The ice bucket challenge.
That's right. So you must have done it. It's still fresh in your memory, huh? No way. We have enough cold water here in Maine, right? So the ice bucket challenge. The challenge also included a dare. If you did that, if you had the guts to be able to dump ice cold water over you, you could dare someone else, and they had 24 hours to perform that task, okay, to dump a bucket of ice cold water on themselves as well. All of this was for a good purpose. Do you remember what it was for?
ALS,
or what we call Lou Gehrig's disease, and a lot of money was raised. I think we can be proud a little bit for this because it was a New England idea, came out of Boston, and the governor of Massachusetts has even declared it an annual event in Massachusetts. I believe it's August 1st every year. They relive the Ice Bucket Challenge in Massachusetts. Maybe that's why we call them summer complaints, right? Because they do crazy things like this. Our text for today mentions a dare, doesn't it? Right there in verse number 7. Very rarely will anyone die for someone else, even for a good person. Paul backs up a little bit and says there, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. This is a dare that has not just, that has changed many, many lives. From the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, from the east to the west, and hopefully many lives here in this congregation as well. This man, Jesus Christ, who dared to die for the human race, and indeed for all creation, whose death on the cross has demonstrated for us more than anything else that indeed he loves us. So it says there that God has demonstrated that love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So as we try and get to the kernel of truth, as we try and really drill down and understand what it means to love like God,
in this world. We're going to have to be bold and daring. We're going to have to step out of the ordinary and do some unusual things. I think this text maybe gives us some hints of three different things that we can do. First of all, we can dare to get dirty. I'll show you where that occurs in the text there. Secondly, we can dare to set aside wrath. And finally, we can dare to live. Let's look at these. First of all, we've got to dare to get dirty. Perhaps you saw the article in the Lincoln County News last week, not this week's edition, of a young man who hiked the Appalachian Trail. He is connected to our congregation, the son of Robin and Sandy, George O'Brien, who hiked the whole thing and now has become an esteemed thru-hiker. That's what they are called because they have hiked all the way through. Generally, you start at Springer Mountain in Georgia in the spring and end up at where in the fall? Mascotatin. That's the other end of the trail, right? So he is a thru-hiker. Now, he could have talked about it for a long time, probably did, but I mean, he could have continued to just talk about it and plan for it and so on, but at some point, you've got to dare to do this. You've got to dare to get down on that trail and just do it, foot after foot, yard after yard, mile after mile, and you go through at least two pairs of boots. I know that George did that according to the article, and I did post the article on our bulletin board here in the back room if you missed that. It's an amazing thing. You've got to get down on that trail. You have to get dirty and sweaty. You'll probably sleep in a damp tent. But you get down there and you do it. And in a sense, this is what Jesus has done in coming to our world. That's the whole point of that responsive reading, the incarnate Christ. He didn't just sit in heaven and talk about how he could love us or throw down edicts or ideas about how we could relate to one another. He became one of us and dwelt among us and died a human death so that we would not have to. And that is just amazing. In verse number 6 there, it says, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. This is the dirty part of it, okay? We were powerless. We had nothing to offer. We had no claim to fame. We had no goodness that we could hold on. In fact, we were ungodly. And Christ said, I'm going to come down into their lives, and I will live for them. And that shows us love more than anything else, and that sets the standard. If we are going to love like God in this loveless world, we're going to have to get down and dirty and get into people's lives. And I know I've talked to you, many of you, and you have people in your lives that may be scratching your head. You have people in your lives that seem far away from God. I do in mine. And at some point, we just have to put that aside. Not dismiss it or say it doesn't matter, but just say, we are going to show you love no matter what. Can you get dirty with somebody? Can you really love them? That's what Christian love is all about. It is a sacrificial kind of love. I'm concerned about our nation and our country right now for many reasons, but one of the reasons is it seems like we have reached one of the lowest points ever in relating to one another, and all we do is just barely tolerate one another. If somebody is of a different political persuasion or a different kind of lifestyle or whatever, it's just all we can do to kind of just put up with them or tolerate them. That is not what we're talking about as Christians. Christian concept of love is a sacrificial love set by the standard of the cross, where you lay aside your life and you just love somebody. That does not mean that what your friends or your family members are doing is just fine. It just means that love comes first. It came first in Jesus' life, and it must come first in ours. That is Christian love. If you've been in the church a while, you may have heard of the many different types of love that are in Scripture. Okay? We have about 4. There's romantic love, there's brotherly love, and then there's agape love, which means I will put aside who I am that I might love you. We only have one overused word in English, and it's love. We love peanut butter sandwiches, and we love Jesus Christ. How are they different? They're dramatically different. You know, the Inuit people up in the northern reaches of Canada have more than 40 different words for snow. That's because they live in it, and it's just not just white stuff. There's granular snow, there's crystalline snow, there's slushy snow, and there's a different word for each one of us, each one of those kinds of snows. And so in Scripture, love is so important. There is a different word for Christian love, and that is agape. It is a love that will get down and dirty with other people. We saw that in our responsive reading. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The old word there in the ancient languages pitched His tent among us. Like George did on the Appalachian Trail, Jesus came down and lived among us. Paul says in Philippians 2, these are printed on the back of your bulletin so you can go home and study them up. Have this attitude in relationship to others. Your relationships with one another should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He made Himself nothing. He got down on our level by taking the very nature of a servant. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. We are not called to tolerate one another. We are not called to be nice to one another. I hope you are, but the Christian calling is for something that goes a lot further. And wouldn't you know, as I was preparing the sermon, that I got slapped around a little bit by the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of preparing it, because I was watching a news clipping on Channel 6 News about a young couple swept up in the opioid crisis that had been kicked out of their apartment and needed a place to stay. And some dear woman had taken them in. I don't know if you saw this or not. A young couple with one baby. There's baby number two on the way. And they interviewed the young couple. And it was all I could do to listen because of the tongue piercings. You know, and I just turned away and just said to myself, I'm glad I don't have to deal with any of that. None of you have tongue piercing. Well, I shouldn't ask that. But it was just like, whoa, the Holy Spirit said to me, okay, Pastor, just turn away. Have nothing to do with them. I bet you've got some people in your life that may not have tongue piercings, but they've got something going on, and they need to see Jesus. They need to see you coming down. They may never come into our church, and you might be the only representative that they have. Pray for me as I pray for you that we can get dirty with the community here and come alongside them and just show them what love is. Second point, besides dare to get dirty, is dare to set aside wrath. I am really impressed here with one of the verses that we'll get to in just a second, but I have to talk about camouflage again, or the Incredible Hulk. Some of you may remember the guy who turns into the Hulk. What was his name? Bruce Banner. Who said David? Was it back row there? Bruce Banner. Okay, I think that's what I found out. I thought it was somebody else myself, but I had to look it up. And in looking it up, I came across the official definition of who this character is on the Marvel comic book website. This is a comic book character. Okay. Caught in a blast of gamma radiation, brilliant scientist Bruce Banner is cursed to transform in times of stress into the living engine of destruction known as the Incredible Hulk. A living engine of destruction, okay? You know anybody like that? But what's so striking here in our text is that God has decided to turn aside from wrath. He is not some living engine of destruction, but He decides that He is going to be reconciled to us. Look at verse 10 there. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Him, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved through this life. So you see what has happened here is we had the status of enemies, and God worked things out through His Son Jesus Christ so that we can now be reconciled and be friends again and be in a loving relationship again. And that's just golden, folks. I don't know if you've ever had to go through a reconciliation process or something like that, but you talk things through and you get to a point where you shake hands, right? And you let bygones be bygones. That's past. You can move forward now. And that's what I think Scripture is saying here that God has done. We've had a reconciliation process through the cross, and now we are no longer enemies, but are loved by God. So what I want you to do this week, I give you something practical to do every Sunday sermon, is to do an enemy check, okay? Just look inside and see if you've got any enemies and ask yourself, is this how the Father wants me to relate to this person? Is this how I'm supposed to show Christ to this other person? Now, please hear me out here. Some terrible things happen in life, and I'm not saying you just dismiss those, that's unimportant, that you just let bygones be bygones. Remember, with camel fluff, he taught us from Romans 12 that we leave that to God, but how we respond to other people is through love. And there are things that are terrible that should not be dismissed. God does not dismiss them. That's why we have the cross, right? Because Jesus did have to go to the cross. But now we are reconciled, and I think people in our community are hungry to know that. I know they are. I bet there are people that don't even come here because they just don't. There's something going on in their lives, and they just wouldn't feel accepted. They feel this distance. They just need to know that it's okay, that God loves them. Not making this up either, so I'll put another verse in the back of your back of your bulletin there from Leviticus 19. I think this is right after the giving of the Ten Commandments, okay? So it's not one of the Ten Commandments, it's right up there. And God says to there, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So from early on, the book of Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that to us as well, right? Quoting these verses. Well, mind you, because of my life and my family, I understand that the first two points are going to be extremely difficult. To get dirty with other people, to set aside wrath. So, here's point number three. It's a good one. Dare to live. Let's go back to verse 10 there, shall we? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So God has done this amazing thing on the cross. And it's as if Paul is saying there, He did that. He's also going to save you through His life. He's going to pour new life into your body. And He is going to make you be able to live as a new person. And we've talked about this so much. Right? We did back in the Easter season because the Bible teaches us that we are an Easter people. Easter is not just a holiday that happens in the spring. It is our identity now that goes on and on. We are an Easter people. We weren't back in April. We were in August. We are now in October. And we will be Monday morning too. God will save you through His life. And that's not just the right standing. That means the wholeness, the shalom, the healing, the power to follow Him, all of that. It's huge. It means a lot more than just going to heaven. You will be saved. He is giving you His life. Let's dare to live it, shall we? Shall we, Easter people? Can we try it? Another passage there on the back of your bulletin, and I'm going to, if I dare, I don't know that I have the guts or not, but if I dare to pronounce this over you as a benediction, because this is powerful stuff. You want me to go for it? Okay. Ephesians 3, I pray that out, oh my gosh, of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And then verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church. I'm going to just pray right now. I'm led into his presence. Lord, you say that you can do immeasurably more than we ask or think. It is almost all we can do to imagine loving some of the people that are in our lives or in our neighborhoods. Or God, pour out your power on us. Cause us to dare to live for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to talk to you about another bucket. We talked about the ice bucket. I have a bucket list, and I think many of you probably do as well. On my bucket list are a few things. One of them is to go and visit some of the national parks that are out west. They're so beautiful. Love to go to Yellowstone and see the bison and the elk and the wolves, the geysers and the hot springs and the minerals and everything. I would love to go to Yellowstone. It's one of our crown jewels of our national park system, right? There are two things that keep me from getting to Yellowstone. Number one is distance. Can you guess what number two is?
Money.
There are three things. Distance, money, and can you guess the third thing? There are four things. Okay, the fourth thing is, I'm going to stop this game. Who knows what you're going to say now. Yellowstone is a volcano. A volcano. It's like 40 miles wide. It's just an old volcano. That's why all this steam and stuff is coming up, because it's just an old volcano that blew the heck out of the planet many years ago, and just in USA Today this past week, it's planned to happen again sometime, and it will be cataclysmic. They say, scientists are now saying that it might happen a little sooner than we thought. So I don't know that I want to go to Yellowstone and walk around on top of a volcano, but I wonder about Nobleboro. Are we sitting on top of a volcano here?
A fault line.
A fault line. In a sense, we are. And in a sense, we have a volcano right here in this congregation. There's so much power. Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He has the power, people, so that we can dare to get dirty. We can dare to set aside the wrath that turns us into incredible hopes. We can dare to live for him. We can do this. We can love like God. And because it's possible, every now and then we have to get rowdy. And our last hymn is a little bit rowdy, or at least rousing. I love it. It's one of my favorites. We're going to sing all five verses. So please stand, and we are going to sing number 307. And can it be?